yes. We are back once again. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We're back again with another edition of Geek Culture Congress. I'm one of your hosts, always Louis Speedy Jr. Gonzalez, accompanied by my good friend, Mr. Tarek Lewis. How you doing, sir?
What it do?
What's it do? What's it do, man? First off, happy Monday to you, sir. And I hope everything's going well with you.
And to you.
Yeah. And, man, what a... I left the movie theater after seeing Black Adam, right? And I thought, when was there a time that we were going to see a live-action Hawkeye in a motion picture? You know what
Hawk
I mean?
Man.
Like Hawkman, yeah, yeah. A live-action Hawkman, a live-action Atom Smasher, a live-action Dr. Fate. When were we ever going to see that in our lifetime when we were, like, kids and we're like, oh, man, I wish they would make that. Nah, I don't ever do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's probably some weird 70s English version of Dr. Fate. There's probably some movie out there that we don't know about, some campy Dr. Fate film that we forgot about out there somewhere. But, yeah, I definitely didn't see a Hawkman movie being made. I actually think Hawkgirl is probably more popular at this point.
I think they're working on that, too. I think they're working. I saw a rumor about that, a Hawkgirl thing in post-production or pre-production, should I say.
I definitely knew about Hawkman, but a lot of my info is from the Justice League cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. Me 90s. Too.
So that's how I really got dug into the DC stuff. And that was Hawkgirl. So and then Hawkman looks absolutely ridiculous in the comics.
A little bit. Yeah. And the newer stuff is a little cooler, you know.
Yeah.
The original stuff is a little ridiculous. There was one. Hawkeye. They used to. He used to be in a team up. I'm trying to remember what comic book that was. It was Hawkeye and somebody else. It was a comic book that was one of his original comics. I don't know if it was Hawkeye and Shazam.
You can call him Hawkeye. He's Hawkman.
Hawkman, sorry. I know I'm gawking for you, sir. Crisscross with Marvel and DC now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all crazy.
He's the team up with the Atom.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, it was Hawkeye and Atom. There you go. Thank you very much for that save there. Thank you very much.
Hawkman and the Atom. Hawkman, yes,
Hawkman.
Damn you.
Hawkman. Get it right, Speedy Jr. All right. Yeah. ladies and gentlemen, let us know what you think about Black Adam before we spoil the heck out of it. And let us know what you think. Feel right there in the comments in the live show version of this. Or if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, by all means, right there in the comments, let us know how you feel. How you feel. Where did Black Adam hurt you or inspire you the most? There you go. the consensus seems like it's the critics versus the fans, man. Huh? What do you think about that?
That's yeah.
We've had this happen before.
Yeah, I think Venom was one where this happened. There was another film. I don't know what it was. It wasn't Everything Everywhere All at Once. Right. It was another film where they critics weren't feeling it and the fans were recently in the past few years. I don't remember which one that was. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on it, Speedy? Let's get your review.
My review, my spoiler-free review before we start talking about the movie. I was pleasantly surprised by it, man. You know, I really had no dislike for anything. I even appreciated Chunk squeezing in backstory in some, in some dialogue. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell, like, they were like, okay, let's squeeze some backstory here in this dialogue. Let's squeeze some backstory in this dialogue. Let's squeeze some backstory in this dialogue. You know what I mean? Just to keep everybody up the pace, you know? And, I noticed a lot of the reviews, especially from the critics, like they would be like, "Oh, but we don't understand where this person came from." And after I watched the movie and I actually thought about it and was thinking about it, I was like, the problem is that you guys weren't paying attention because they did kind of, you know, go over, you know, help me out. What was the girl with the wind powers? What was her name?
Vortex, I think was her name.
Something like that. But I know they were complaining about her, like they didn't know her backstory. And so I was like, yeah, well, she explained her backstory. She was literally sitting down with Atom Smasher and she really gave a quick synopsis on her backstory, you know?
Yeah, she absolutely like, did. I don't see how they
could. Yeah.
Claim that.
It was a lot. It was a lot of, inconsistencies with critics of reviews. You know what I mean?
Cyclone.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Cyclone. There you go. There you go. There you go. Yes. A lot of inconsistencies with those reviews, man. Is it just a lot of critics are just not fans of our kind of these kinds of movies, period, and they're just looking to bash them?
Well, there's some thought that this is a smear job by Disney and MCU. Some people believe that they put bad things out on purpose. Yeah. So I don't know, but I think that it's a, there was some,
mm-hmm.
but it's comic book fans know to grade that differently than they would any other film. And critics just grade everything as, you know, it's like grade Fast and the Furious. Like, why would you grade that the same way you grade, Sense and Sensibility or something, you know? It doesn't make any sense.
Is it getting to the point where you think that we can't even trust these critics' reviews anymore?
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Like, you just got, you know, see it for yourself and judge for yourself? Like, that's going to be the new rule for everything?
I never understood it when people say, oh, here's getting bad ratings, so I'm not going to go see it. I never understood that. Like, either you want to see the film,
I've done that.
I'm going to see. I'll go see it if you give me, like, if I wasn't going to see it and you give me rave reviews, then maybe I'll check it out since you talk good about it. But if I was going to see it anyway, I've seen the trailers. I know the film is coming out. I'm not waiting for you to go see it to tell me what you think to decide whether I see it or not.
It made money. Did good.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, it went. The Rock posted how much it made. 16 million domestically? 23 million domestically?
It did 140 globally.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So definitely more domestic. And it did
67 million in domestic.
I lowballed them. I lowballed you, Dwayne 16. Johnson. Sorry, don't come after me, okay? That's awesome, though. That's great. Look, for a Black Adam movie, who would have thought we got a Black Adam movie, ladies and gentlemen, okay? I don't care what you think about the movie. Who you would think you would see those characters that you saw in live action on a cinematic, full-blown Hollywood movie with all the CG and everything behind it, with great actors behind the characters? And Dr. Fate was awesome. Pierce Brosnan was... I loved it. It's not perfect. It's not perfect by any means necessary.
I'm surprised that Black Adam got put in the cartoon. Years ago.
Yeah, he's violent. You know, if you read the books, he's not a, you know, he's like a super he's like a superpower punisher.
Yeah. I'm surprised about that. So, yeah, I'm definitely shocked. It goes to show, I was telling some friends of mine, it goes to show what star power will do. There's not a lot of superstars anymore in film. Right. And Rock's like one of those few, like Rock, Tom Cruise. I don't know who else. If maybe even Angelina Jolie, if she popped back in and said, "Hey, I want to do this movie," that studios would do it. So I think that goes a lot to his star power. We definitely wouldn't be seeing it if The Rock wasn't racially ambiguous. Thank you, Rock, for your DNA and your star power to get us to this point.
I think it's awesome, man. I think I enjoyed the movie. It's definitely it's not perfect by any means, but I think it was great. If you ever read any Black Adam story, is definitely well done. Definitely honors the character, the story, background. You know, they tweak a little things for the movie, but definitely well done. I give it a 7 out of 10, man. And I think with some alcohol, I might give it an 8.
Yeah. unfortunately, I was only on that popcorn. I was on the popcorn. Okay. I wasn't on it. Yeah, I had some Fruitopia or something and some popcorn. That was all I had. But I think I give it a 7, man.
Yeah.
I think I get a 7. Some issues early on in the film with, like, some mad corny stuff. The way they introduced the Justice Society, I thought was kind of corny.
Yeah.
But there's a Justice Society. I mean, like, it's corny in the comic book. Like, dude, yeah, I mean, the name Justice Society is a corny name, you know.
I like the way they're distinguishing the DCEU from the Marvel, you know, just like their world is just, you know, superheroes are here, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you know, where I feel like the MCU is kind of like it's still ambiguous, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Well, not with those last two shows, it hasn't been ambiguous.
Yeah.
They got Instagram followers. Titania has Instagram followers, yeah. So it hasn't been that way.
It's everybody knows,
you know, who's an Avenger and all that, but
right.
I think, you know, when Dwayne Johnson was saying that he was, this is going to be the new kickoff, I thought maybe I was hoping they weren't recharting everything and like, or starting all over and starting with him. I'm glad that, spoiler alert, that they did pick up where other things left off. Like, okay, we know Amanda Waller's here, so they're picking off in the universe. So I think that's dope that they did that.
And, I like that too. Yeah, so I guess we could dive into the movie. You want to spoil some stuff, and you know, we already gave you guys your warning. We're about 15 minutes in the show, so if we ruin the movie for you, it's not our fault, man. And we got a lot more stuff to talk about too, by the way. We got finally a brand new trailer for Ant-Man the Wasp: Quantumania. You want to touch on that before we get into Black Adam spoilers?
No, we're already on Black Adam. Let's go.
Yeah. All right. We're stuck on the Black Adam, man. I truly enjoyed the movie, man. It's from the beginning of the movie, like when they started doing the you know, the flashback of the what happened, with his son or whatever. I was kind of like, I was a little confused there, because I always knew from looking at like the spoilers and when Rock was doing a lot of press and stuff like that. Like, there was an animated storyboard that he was pushing out there. I don't know if you remember seeing that, where he actually talked about the inspiration, like the son, you know, his son got killed, and that's how he became Black Adam, whatever. And then when they presented this beginning, it kind of threw me for a loop. I was like, oh, wait a second, did they change something? You know what I mean? And then I like that they brought it all full circle as you get passed into the third act. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, okay, all right, I like this, you know? But in the beginning, I was kind of like, dang, did they change that? Like, you know, it's not really his son. His son is Black Adam. Like, you know, like there was no death, you know, like no inspiration. And I like how, like, the lore throughout how long was it? 5,000 years, they said? 3,000
years? 5,000
years. 5,000 years. Like, the story has changed, and then you finally get the true story, you know, as you get into the third act. But I really like that. Really like the loop-de-loop. Threw me for a loop for people who were following the, okay, yeah, Black Adam's going to be about this. I'm like, wait a second. What's this we're
watching? The loop-de-loop got you, Speedy. You like the loop-de-loop?
Yeah. They threw me a curveball. There you go.
I was that part got me too. I was watching the film and thinking, like, wait a minute, this is supposed to be in the trailers. They're doing okay. They're, you know, they're throwing a curveball at us.
Yeah.
This is why I think the second and third act of the film really cemented the movie.
Right.
It made it so much better, because they did. Typically, you can predict what's going to happen in a film. And not to say that this was crazy unpredictable, but they at least made the effort to intrigue us, to have some intrigue as to what's going to happen, and not just action. So,
yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah. I liked... I kind of like the young inspiration... the other side character, the cheerleader, I forget his name now in the movie, but the kid that was riding the skateboard, and he was
I couldn't stand that little kid.
Yeah, I liked it. It was cool.
I couldn't stand that little punk ass kid, man.
he was kind of there for DC references and you know you know what I mean. Like, he was like the...
What? Couldn't stand that kid. I couldn't stand that character, dude. Oh, man. I realize I don't like...
It was entertaining.
I don't like on these shows, in these movies, where, like you were saying, the MCU, like, I don't like the idea that, like, we need a hero. I don't like people saying that. It's, like, very on the nose.
Yeah.
It's like, we need a hero. You could be a superhero. You could have... It's like...
Well, I think
they
overused
the word hero in this movie,
right?
Over and over again.
I think it's more like it's the way that the people in that country see everything. Like they see super.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Man and Batman and the Justice League, you know, saving the world, and you know they're going through things in their country, and you know Superman ain't stopping by for nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what he got. Yeah, exactly. So I think that's that. From that point of view, is where they're all coming from. You know what I mean? As you can see, mm-hmm. when you're in the kid's room, like he's got a shrine to it, like every you know superhero, and he's riding with the comic books in his bag.
Yeah,
you saw that Cyborg, the Cyborg comic book, a little. Little Easter
egg. I did not notice the Cyborg card.
I noticed that, especially when they looked, they put the camera inside the bag with the crown, and you could see the Cyborg thing, comic book there right there on top. That was funny. You kind of tweaked out on me on the signal there, so I'm gonna keep rambling here.
I'm back. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I've never heard you pay attention to something as much.
I was in a good mood. That's what it was, I guess. I don't know. I was into the movie. Rock did it. They did a good job. I like the whole introduction part. You know, I thought it was cool. You know, the ceiling, and then you know, trying to figure out you know what else is here. Did you like the I forgot the name of the metallic substance that I guess has magical powers that they could only mine in their country?
Eternium.
Eternium. Yeah. Are you a fan of this thing? This little plot device? I thought it was okay. Is that his weakness too? Like his kryptonite?
It seemed like he cut through him, yeah. I was not a fan of that necessarily.
I don't remember that being some kind of weakness for him. You know what I mean?
I wasn't a fan of that when it started. Mm-hmm. But I get it. I get it. And I accepted it because it was part. I love the idea that Intergang is a thing.
I like that. I like that because I read a lot of comic books with Intergang. Like, he has a lot of, they have a lot of interaction with Superman, the comic books, and everybody, even Batman. I think Intergang takes over Gotham for a little while in one story arc. So, Intergang is a very, very popular plot device in DC Comics. And I like that they introduce them. Yeah.
So, I'm okay with Eternium because it gave us Intergang. So I like that aspect, and it gave us a lot of times. Man, these dudes don't have valid valid villains, or it's like he would just rip through everybody. And it gave us a little bit of like understanding or a little bit of tension because okay, this thing can't hurt him. So I liked that.
I did like that as well. Then I just thought it was a weird name. I was like, I never heard of this name before. Whatever that substance or whatever, I just feel like they just made it up.
They did make it up. It immediately made me think of Masters of the Universe and He-Man. It's like Eternia. Is it from the
planet? Wasn't one of the actors going to be like he was going to be He-Man for a moment? You know, some live action thing. Like he was like rumored to be He-Man. One of the actors that's in this movie.
I don't know. Maybe.
Anyway, that's not.
There was somebody I know named Derek Russo who was in the film though. So shout out to Derek Russo.
Let's see here. Then we get into. I wonder how Amanda Waller like knows about this stuff like fast. You know what I mean? Like some like you know like how did she know that got released? You know, so fast.
Well,
was it Dr. Fate that saw it? That was the only thing I missed there. I think. Right. Like, how did they get the warning? You know.
Well, I mean, it's a good question, but or maybe they knew he was there the whole time because they had to have known about Shazam, right? She knows about Shazam.
Well, I think they know about the story of Tef Adam, you know, that's as far as like lore.
I'm sure they have satellites watching everything now. So some guy flies out of the mountain and, you know, she picks up on it, you know.
Yeah.
She is, what do they call it, Targus or what is it? What is the name of her organization? I want to say TARDIS.
I don't remember. Argus?
Argus, yeah.
I think it's Argus. Or maybe she's not Argus anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, my man, she's part of that, so...
Yeah.
She's going to have her eye out at all times, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
For stuff like that, so... I didn't find that too incredulous. I just thought it was interesting that... And we probably never will. No Hawkman background too much. And no... Go ahead.
No, I want to say that movie probably would have been even longer if they had to do a little bit of Hawkman Hawkman background, because you know he gets got the reincarnation going on. You know, they kind of hinted at it. You know,
he's
I'm not afraid of death.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and so he's also alien too, and that's where you get all this technology from. He's also an alien,
right?
Yeah.
I like that he was rich too. I like that he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
That he had his thing going on. So, I the introduction of the two younger characters, it wasn't Vortex. Her name is Cyclone. Mm-hmm. My apologies. Cyclone and Atom Smasher. The humor they tried to get with them in the beginning wasn't hitting for me. And it wasn't until later that it started to click. Like, for instance, when Atom Smasher would accidentally crush something, and Hawkman would be like, "Hey, me and you, man, me and you," and it's like, "Hey, there was no argument with them before. Why are we all of a sudden making that up?"
Right.
But when they established it, then it became kind of funny. So that's why I think the second half of the film.
That was cool. A lot of people, I sent a lot of the reviews from the critics and some regular people too. They were complaining about how this man been asleep for 5,000 years and can speak English already. And I think that has to do with the magic, because when he gave up before the third act, he gave up the Shazam, remember, the powers, and he started speaking back in his language again. I think that's because of the magic. What do you think?
Maybe. And I mean, Shazam is an English word.
Yeah. True.
Shazam is an English word. So
yeah, isn't the lore of Shazam like he's also was Merlin too or whatever?
I think Black Adam gets the Merlin thing. Shazam gets the Wisdom of Solomon. Black Adam gets other powers. So he gets the Wisdom of Zihitu. English level intellect and clairvoyance. Okay. Zihitu. Yeah. So he gets that. He gets wiser as Black Adam.
Mm-hmm. And then I want to talk about the. Do you feel like Hawkman was just a punching bag? I don't think so. I saw a lot of critics talk about that. Like he's just there to get punched.
He held his own a lot more than I thought he would.
Yeah, I thought it was dope.
Yeah, they actually made him look a lot cooler than I thought he would.
I originally thought, I was like, dang, Hawkman, really? Like he's not even on his power level, but he really hung his own. You know, like, okay. Like I believed that he belongs in in the universe. You know what I mean? Like he has a good power level and he could stick in there with the best of them. You know?
I thought Hawkman was going to get his ass kicked.
Yeah, me put too. I was way. Like,
I thought he was going to get his ass kicked.
Like, come on,
and you know? He hung in there, man. He got his licks in.
Yeah.
He knew he wasn't going to beat him, but he was like, "I'm going to keep fighting you, dog.
Yeah.
Getting on my damn nerves."
and then a lot of the other criticism I saw, but like people saying. Well, even Michaela in her review, she was like, "Oh, it's a little bit of X-Men. There's a little bit of Suicide Squad, I guess." I was like,
I didn't quite
a little bit, maybe because they're a team by Amanda Waller sending them out. I don't think they're necessarily the Suicide Squad. They're not. They don't have bombs on their necks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah. She wasn't saying. I don't think she was saying there was an exact duplicate, but I get it because. Yeah. I guess Amanda Waller sending them out.
After a while, all these things. Something. After a while, all these movies are going to kind of do the same things. You know what I mean?
That's true. I didn't quite get that feel either. It felt a little different to me than Suicide Squad or any of the X-Men movies or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It did feel like
because Avengers. they had a jet that came out of the ground. You know, now it looks like X-Men.
Yeah, no, it felt like Avengers. I will definitely say that. It definitely felt like Avengers. That's what I thought. The assembly of the Justice Society was a little clunky to me. Like, oh, we're going to call this girl. We're going to call this one. And this guy.
That made me think.
Hmm?
Oh, go ahead. No, and then also made me think about, okay, so if these guys going to live in the same universe that there's a, you know, we already got a, you know, Batman, Superman, Justice League movie happened. I was like, where were these guys around when the Justice League were doing their thing? You know?
Maybe they were incognito, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they were incognito. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's why they build universes, man, you know?
Right. We'll see what happens. We'll see how they explain that. They're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to explain that, right? You know?
No, not really. You don't have to.
No, no.
You're the only one wondering it. You're seeing Cyborg.
That's the only thing that bothers me. Okay. That's
underneath the crown. So you're the only person worried about that.
So what do you think? They make a Hawkman into a HBO series there. HBO series there, huh?
That would be interesting. I would be okay with that.
Yeah. They could delve into the lore. Because he's lived like 1,000 lifetimes.
Yeah,
or more.
I would actually be. I could actually see that and be into that.
Because he's from, I guess, originally from, in like his story arc starts in Egyptian times, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that would actually be pretty dope. And then there's like the love story with Hawkman and Hawkgirl. You know, I think that would be pretty cool.
Hey, you don't have to do that with your fingers. You don't have to do that with your fingers when you do that speed. That's not necessary. It's weird. It's strange that you did that. Like, why is you could have just said the love story. You didn't have to physically.
If I remember correctly, I think they did a little bit of Hawkman in the Arrowverse.
I believe they did.
Yeah.
I believe they did. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. For anybody who wants to, they can find some of those episodes. I think in the League, whatever. I think it was that show maybe.
Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah, I think they.
But I would definitely be down for an HBO Hawkman show. I could see that. But I don't know if Hawkman warrants his own film. I don't think he warrants his own movie. Although I think Aldis Hodge, if you ask in my review of this film, I would say The Rock was great. And I think we got from The Rock what you're supposed to get from The Rock. And he threw some humor in there.
Mm-hmm.
Aldis Hodge to me and Pierce Brosnan kind of stole the show.
Yeah. Oh, man, going straight into the third act, like, you know, just all the action from Dr. Fate, man, that was dope. You know what I mean? A lot of his acting was great. Pierce Brosnan's acting was great. And then all the CG and the whole presentation of Dr. Fate was awesome. And then on the other side of the coin, I saw a bunch of reviewers saying, Dr. Strange copy. And I was like, come on, guys. Dr. Fate has been out longer than Dr. Strange. If anything, Dr. Strange is the copy of Dr. Fate. Come on. I was going to say,
I think Fate came before Strange.
Yeah, he's like from the 50s or 60s or something like that. Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and I will be honest, though. Benedict Cumberbatch is just a younger, younger more Pierce Brosnan. Pierce Brosnan. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he said in a presser. I think he said that Benedict Cumberbatch's the way he did Doctor Strange inspired him to take up a movie like this because he originally shied away from these kinds of superhero stuff.
Shut it down. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, shit. Who else is Pierce Brosnan going to play? I guess there's a lot of people
going to play. You know, he's getting old, man. He's already got the money in the bank, man. You know, he's picking and choosing his roles, man.
I thought they stole the show. I was a little bothered to be a sweaty, as you call them, Speedy. I was a little bothered that Faye didn't have the eyes in the helmet. But then I started to think it was cool. But then at some point, the eyes on the helmet opened.
Oh, did it? I didn't even notice that.
Like, later in the film, like the eyes on the helmet opened.
Was it in the third act when he was trying to stop the I forgot the antagonist's name. The main character guy.
Yeah,
and I kind of like that. The connection they made, I did it with my fingers again. Hey, see?
Oh, stop doing that.
The connection they made with his being his ancestor from the original beginning of the Black Adam story to the end. I kind of like that. I was like, okay, cool.
So that was the part of Michaela's review that I kind of disagreed with when I saw it.
Mm-hmm. She didn't like
but
that.
She had a point. Mm-hmm. She liked it. She said it was enjoyable to watch. Mm. But one of her big things was that at the end, there's just a CGI villain that kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I thought that she's right, not wrong, but again, I'm grading it as a comic book movie. You know that's going to happen sometimes.
Yeah.
Or unless they have the villain the whole time. And I actually thought that that was better done than it could have been real cheesy and awful. But I thought it was better done. Cool.
It did definitely look like a video game, like the CGI.
Definitely some like CGI. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was very
much.
When
I was watching it, I was watching the fight. I was like, "Oh, okay, I see what the criticisms are." But I'm like, "I'm not taken aback. Like, what the hell am I watching?" Like,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What just happened now? Like, the movie didn't fall out of bed. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't as bad as when they introduced Doomsday.
Yeah. Yeah, that
when
was
they introduced Doomsday and Batman Returns, man.
And I still didn't fall out of bed. You know, I still was okay. I accept it.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was fucking terrible.
It's like, oh, no, there's one when the Green Lantern movie falls off the rails, like near the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
When the bad guy starts getting infected or whatever by the whatever that is, and they use the CGI or whatever, and he's got that crazy face like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, this is bad. Like, the whole movie just, like, fell out of bed right here.
Listen, I you know, Black Adam. Mm-hmm. So for him, it's good that they ended it when he gave up his ability, and I knew they weren't.
Yeah, I had a feeling, I was like, okay, does it? And I was like, oh, dang, okay, then they didn't. They're going to keep going. Okay, cool. I had a feeling that was
over. That didn't feel like the end. But it led to a great end fight scene.
Yeah.
Again, seeing Dr. Fate in action, seeing Hawkman and them working together, even Adam Smith, like it all led to a great fight scene.
Yeah.
So I give him credit. But she is right. Mm-hmm. I get why, and it worked okay.
Go ahead and repeat that thought, because I think your signal tweaked out for a second.
Oh, yeah, I was saying that they did kind of, she is right, they did kind of just throw it in there at the end, and they didn't tease that at all, that, like, this other side was working to have their own champion. But that being said, I was still okay with it after seeing it visually. It was fun to watch.
So here's what I think they're going to go with it. As far as the Shazam and the Black Adam thing, we already know the post credit, right? We've been spoiled, like, has already been like spoiled by the whole internet, like even before the movie came out for like a week, because of the people coming out of the preview. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, are you super excited? We finally got the word, and we finally saw the proof that Henry Cavill is not done with Superman, because he was in the post-credit scene of Black Adam. And well, how do you feel about that, first off, before I continue with my thought? Are you excited for some more Henry Cavill, or you think it's a one-off? What do you think?
No, I think he's back.
Yeah.
I think he's back. I think he announced today that he will be in future DC projects as Superman. Henry Cavill confirms his return to Superman. It's on CNN. CNN, they wouldn't lie.
CNN wouldn't lie. Okay, that's gonna go on the promo.
Yeah, no,
right,
he's saying he's saying he'll be back as Superman. Cameo was just the beginning.
That's cool,
and that's from my IGN. So,
all right. So I'm super excited about it. To be honest with you, we're finally gonna get a sequel to Man of Steel, hopefully, or you know, just future projects, man. You know, Superman is DC. You know what I mean? It's like trying to have this universe without Batman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman by them. The three of them. It just makes no sense to not have them without those three. They're like the cornerstones of everything that the MCU is. Not the MCU, the DCEU. Sorry. Let's...
Who would you like to see as a villain in a Man of Steel film?
I've already heard rumors of Brainiac, and that's kind of affected me. I think Brainiac will be dope. I honestly think a powered super maniacal Lex Luthor would be even better. You know? Like a, you know,
Howard Lex Luthor?
Yeah. You know, like, you know, he you know, he's just on his shit, you know what I mean? Like he's, you know, he's working on his technology, he's, you know, working behind the scenes to undermine Superman, you know, more of that. You know what I mean? We haven't really got that, you know? We haven't got that kind of Lex Luthor. We got the Lex Luthor that was kind of like a bumbling, you know, crime lord or wannabe crime lord, you know, from the old Christopher Reeve movies. You know, we didn't get the we got a little hint of the super criminal mastermind Lex Luthor from the Batman and Superman and the Justice League. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? But we want to get that full blown Lex Luthor that you say, dang, okay, this is one of Superman's main, you know, arch nemesis. You know what I mean? And this is why. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but do they recast Lex Luthor then? Or they still use Jesse?
I think they can still use Jesse. I think he could do it. I think he was dope. You know? But, you know, who knows, man? That's if he wants a return, you know what I mean? The Lex Luthor from Smallville would be the inspiration. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that just that, like, if that presentation of Lex Luthor, replicate that to the fifth power, at least, you know, for this sequel, and that would be great too. But I'll take a Brainiac too. I'll take many different.
I'm digging Brainiac. I like that idea. I would take Mongol with the War World. I would deal with that also. I think it's too early for Darkseid. I think you got to do Darkseid.
They already kind of tease him. They got the team, you know what I mean?
So I want to see him necessarily in Superman, but maybe some hints of him. But who else is Superman's villains? Yeah, I think that. You know, he's too, mental click is too ridiculous.
Yeah, but then, also it's interesting how they introduce him, because, you know, there's two things that mess up Superman. We already know Kryptonite, and the other thing is magic. He has a problem against magic-powered people, and magic people in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, it is the way it is, you know? He has to defeat those magic-powered people, especially people who cast magic with his brain more than, you know, knocking them out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting dynamic in all his books and all his stories, whenever he has to fight a magic-powered person. Which, you know, I guess in the case of Black Adam, he usually has to team up with Captain Marvel or somebody like that to take him down, you know?
Yeah.
In the comic books, so. I think going forward, this is the story. This is the plot I think that would be cool if they did this. Okay? Superman talks to Black Adam. Okay? They reach an agreement or whatever. Or they have an understanding of each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Superman, you know, calls him up for some adventures and help him out with certain things, you know? Sees him in action. Feels like he can be a good part or a part of the Justice League, you know? And, you know, he says, hey, man, you know, I want you to be part of Justice League, but you got to do it our way. You know what I mean? You can't kill people, yada, 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 and whatever, you know? And he tries to usher him in. But then he says, hey, man, also, you know, there's another super-powered person that has the same powers as you. Let me introduce you to him. And then when Black Adam realizes that it's just a kid, like his son, he's going to want to mentor that Captain the Shazam. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or at least protect him. He's going to feel obligated. He's going to feel like, wow, like this is my chance to redeem myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know? Speedy.
And also be frustrated at the same time because, you know, of course, Shazam's a kid and he's going to do what he wants to do. You know what I mean?
I love you, man. I think I'm so happy that you chose a profession that you're in and that you're not making the stories over at DC, because that is fucking absolutely awful.
I would like it. I think it would be cool. At least it's,
I would hate to see that.
At least a little bit of that. I think it would be cool.
Yeah. No. No, not a fan. Not a fan of that storyline. We need to leave these things to Joey. Leave these plot ideas.
What do you think,
Joey? Man?
What do you think? What would be your dream plot there, master plot to include Black Adam into the bigger DCEU?
You know, I hate to be this person, man, but I really don't give a shit. I feel like they did. I
think they did enough, right? Like just stay right there in his country. Don't even leave.
Just stay in his little country. I feel like they made a Black Adam film, and it worked. And how they choose to introduce him or who they have him fighting against or with, I think we need to rest on this right now. They're clearly teasing. They're clearly teasing that, oh, it's going to be the Superman fight at some point. So that's fine. And then we got to see how Shazam is, how Shazam 2 is, because depending on what happens in there, they may already have it mapped out.
Maybe.
They may already have it mapped out. It may be a situation of all those people he's given the powers to, all his, you know, foster family. And at some point in the end, Black Adam is like, okay, you're abusing it. Kind of like what Mordru did in Doctor Strange, where he was like, hey, too many wizards. There's too many wizards. Although they never did follow up on it. So I think keeping it a little simple. Black Adam taking that. First of all, that kid, by the time they do that movie, that kid's going to be 27 years old. So,
well, you know, they gotta keep with the theme, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think they should just be happy that they got through the movie.
I think they're but I still like my idea anyway. I'm gonna keep to my guns. Oh man. What else I want to talk to talk about Black Adam before we move on? I think we hit everything. I finally seen the Shazam 2 trailer in the movie theater, made me a little bit more excited for Shazam now. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm actually excited about Shazam. I'm not excited, but I'm actually okay with Shazam. But I was not a fan of that first one.
I was expecting, you know, like nothing good, and I was pleasantly surprised that it was decent, you know?
Yeah.
That was my
first one. I thought the first one was mad corny.
Yeah, definitely had corny elements to it, but I guess it's, you know, with kids, so I don't know. They're trying for a different audience, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, hopefully they don't do that this time. Hopefully they.
I think they man it up a little bit. It seems like they're trying to hit some comedy steps there. You know?
Yeah.
Or do some humor steps there. So we'll see what happens moving forward with that. Let's move on to our other favorite topic. You want to hit Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania?
Yeah, let's talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp real quick.
All right, cool. We finally got the full trailer has been released. People who went to Comic-Con and they went to I think they had it at Comic-Con as well.
D3
or Comic-Con, one of those two. They got to see it first, of course. Or they got to see actually a scene. We know with that scene didn't seem like it got replicated in the trailer. The leaked scene that who are you? Oh, I'm Ant-Man. Oh, have I killed you before? Are you an Avenger? Remember that line? It didn't seem like it was replicated in the trailer at all. Yeah.
No.
Dope. I think it was cool. What do you think?
You know, I'm not the biggest Ant-Man fan as far as the films.
They kind of took a dig at him, too, in the beginning there. He liked that. I think you liked that. As soon as I saw that, I was like, yeah, Terry's like that.
I love, I can't think of the actor's name. He plays Ant-Man now. That's crazy.
Paul Rudd?
Paul Rudd. I love Paul Rudd. Yeah. I like his performance as Ant-Man. I haven't been crazy about the films themselves. And that has nothing to do with the actors.
Right.
I feel the same about this one. I'm like, I'm not excited. I think.
Oh, dang. Okay.
It looks interesting, but I'm not excited about Kang as a villain. So it's not, you know, it's not enticing me. I'm not that excited. Marvel has me hostage, so I'm going to be there, but I'm not hyped.
It's like the trailer doesn't show us the conflict.
Right.
You know what I mean? We just assume, okay, there's going to be a conflict, but they don't show us what the conflict is. You know, like when I see Wakanda Forever trailer, I know the conflict is the other kingdom versus the other kingdom. He's coming to destroy the other kingdom. The other kingdom's sad too because they just lost Black Panther. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're going through loss, and they have to defend the realm. You know, the country. You know, so you get that. Okay, that's the, you know, we've already got the conflict on top. You know, where where this trailer kind of just shows us the world. It shows us the accident, another accident, and kind of like, all right, this is where they're at now. You know, all kinds of weird stuff's happening. And yeah, you know who this character is because we showed it to you in Loki. But, you know, we don't know what the motivations are yet. And I guess, you know, they don't want to just spoil a lot of stuff in the trailer, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Listen, it's going to be tough because to get hype for it, mm-hmm. because we know Wakanda Forever is, you know, 2 weeks away. Oh,
yeah. Also so it comes out on my birthday. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, I still don't think that means you should get the screening, but whatever. We'll talk about it.
Nah, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to give it up to you guys.
No.
Unless it falls on the day I'm available. I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you guys.
Nah, but... Yeah, it's hard to get hyped about that. But again, I'm it's my personal thing. I'm not big into parallel universes and quant. I'm not big on that. Like as great as Endgame was, the time travel portion, which you know is essential to the film. But I'm not good on. I'm not big on. Oh, in this reality, this happens in this reality. Sometimes I feel like it's kind of a cop out for some things. So yeah, I'm not excited about Quantumania, but I'm going to watch it because I love Paul Rudd. He's one of my favorite actors, so I love his performances, so I'm there for it.
Fair enough. And it's probably going to be important because it's got Kang in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For the for the main MCU narrative going forward for all the Secret Wars and everything they're going to want to do. But yeah, man, go check it out, ladies and gentlemen. It's up on YouTube right now. Go check out the new trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp after the show, okay? Stick with us. We're still talking about stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. House of the Dragon, or as I like to call it, Hot D.
Damn shame.
The final episode. This was 10, right? Episode 10?
Episode 10, yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of like it's kind of like a parallel episode to episode 9, right? It's kind of like a cause and effect episode. Yeah.
Kind of flow into each other. It is a television series.
Yeah. How do you think about the whole show so far? I mean, we got a whole season of it, man. So what do you think about it all so far?
Well done.
Well done, right?
Very, 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 very well done, I say. Extremely well done. It's so good that it makes Game of Thrones better.
Yeah, it kind of does.
You know what I mean?
Like, okay. Yeah.
Like you see things in House of the Dragon, and you're like, oh, okay, that explains why 300 years later Tyrion thinks what he thinks, and like it's you see the parallels. It's like, oh, okay, it makes a lot more sense. I don't know if they did that on purpose, but definitely her saying in this episode where Rhaenyra, I think her name is Rhaenyra, says. Mm-hmm. Well, if we fight with dragons, like we're just going to destroy everything. Like I want to rule over the ashes, and right. That's something that is said in Game of Thrones series. I don't have any really doubt. Like it's so well done. Damon is killing it. That dynamic, that couple, Damon and Rhaenyra, that dynamic is great. And you got to see a big dragon eat a little dragon.
Spoiler alert, ladies and gentlemen. We already warned you about that, okay? So don't get mad at us.
Yeah, yeah. He fuck out of that dragon, man.
Yeah, he did. He did. He fucked that dragon up. That dragon thought he was free. And when he was coasting on the dragon, I was like, yo, tell the dragon to go faster. Tell him now. And I was like, oh. So as soon as you saw, I saw the shadow of the big dragon coming up, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
It's a wrap for you, buddy.
I still have a hard time believing that a dragon that big could sneak up on you.
I enjoyed the whole show, man. I really thought the show was gonna be and I was really pleasantly surprised, man. You know, they really came. All the actors came with their A game. It's just really compelling story. You know, I never read the novel, so it's all new to me. You know, we'll just spoil about any of it already. So definitely. Great, great, great TV, great acting, great time, man. Can't wait for next season. The ending of this episode was awesome. A lot more setting up the plot and setting up the reaction of Rhaenyra's and all her allies and stuff like that as they challenge Aegon and the Greens for the throne.
Yeah.
Contest that she is the true heir of the Iron Throne, and I just great stuff, man. Like even the confrontation there with the dragon, the when the hand comes to ask Rhaenyra to swear allegiance to the new king, for the peace terms, and she comes out with the dragon. All right. All that was just well done, man. Well done. I just liked it all, man. What was your favorite part? Anything specific about this recent episode that you want to focus on that you really liked?
I like the, it's a very strange thing to enjoy. I like the lighting of the table when they realized they had to fight.
So I did too. And I was like, honey, look, that they will make that table light. And they didn't even have, it's just like lost knowledge, I guess, in Game of Thrones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they never made that table do that.
Nah. Right? The way they lit the table up, I thought was so cool. Yeah. And that meeting, we get to see, and I'm not big on like pushing messages or agendas.
Mm-hmm.
Social, political, in film, like pushing them, like to where they're on the nose. Mm-hmm. But what Game of Thrones, House of Dragon is doing great is the two women, Allison and Rhaenyra. We're seeing how they have to constantly compete with these dudes trying to tell them what to do. Even though they're the people in power, they have to constantly compete with these other men. And it's just like, you can see her frustration. So that whole meeting, was dope to me, and her trying to make sure that she asserts her power in that room. And then of course you get to hear the names. You hear, oh, we got to go see the Starks in Winterfell. We got to see the Tullys in River Run. And you start to, like you said, you start to see or hear how the sides are going to line up. And, so that was probably my the biggest scene to me, seeing everybody come together and her alliance coming together. A little disturbed. I was a little disturbed the way that Damon choked her.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
Is that their relationship? Is that what their relationship has always been? Okay. So, but yeah, great. Great performances, man, in that show.
Yeah, definitely, man. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not on House of Dragon, go see it, man. You sat through the show and let us spoil it for you. All this time, just go see it, man. Yeah, especially if
you enjoy it. Speedy would say.
Yeah, get some hot D, man. especially if you enjoyed anything about Game of Thrones, go see House of the Dragon. Okay, you will enjoy it. All right. And if you fell off at season 7 or 8, that's okay. Just go see House of the Dragon, and it might make better sense for you. Everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we had everything, man, except for probably Andor. Have you caught up in Andor yet?
I'm all caught up on Andor.
Yeah?
Great. So it's going under the radar. It's a great show.
Yeah? I don't know, man. I felt like this episode kind of like went slow again. But I like all the political intrigue and stuff like that,
Yeah. That's what I thought was dope, was the political intrigue. Seeing that rebellion really form.
Right.
And when the homegirl, trying to front on her like she ain't a real soldier. Or she don't really know about you being thinking about rebellion, and she's like, okay. that little game they were playing there, I thought that was cool.
Mantra, her all her things she's got going on too, and that whole banter that she had with her childhood friend, the other senator. I'm assuming he was another senator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to get his support and stuff like that. On the DL, on the down low, It was interesting. That was interesting. I'm more interested in her story more than Andor's story.
I will say that. That's true.
Yeah. Every time they go back to Andor, I'm just like, eh.
Is that because we know he's going to die?
Yeah, kind of.
You know what I mean? Looking at him, but it's like, you ain't going to make it, dog. So.
Yeah, it's like,
why am I even investing in you?
I mean, he's important, right? So he's been a long... But when we see him in Rogue One, he's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this is definitely important. You know what I mean? But it's kind of... I don't know. He comes back home. You were on the run. Why'd you go back home?
Yeah, we know what you're gonna do to your family when you go on the run, Speedy.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope your wife's not watching.
I'm
just gonna take off.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Like, they don't think they're gonna be looking for you, like at your house.
You're gonna run off, Speedy. You're gonna run off with the millions.
So maybe that he went home because, and it also shows that like the Empire is so full of themselves. They can't. They won't even believe that he would come back home. That's why they're not even around. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or they don't even care.
Well, they don't have any idea who did this, though, either. Like, there is no rebellion yet. This is like...
Right. But,
yeah, I think that was an interesting thing, too.
It
was,
in the third, you know, from the stuff that happened in the third episode, I'm sure they're still looking for him for that.
Yeah. Know? But he's probably not a major, major criminal at that point.
Mm.
This is like a striking at... You know, he killed two workers before.
Right.
This is like... You struck at the Empire, and those workers weren't even Empire workers; they were like contract people.
Right.
So this is like you struck at the Empire and took money too. Mm. It's like pissing off Suge Knight.
Yeah.
So I'm liking the show, but I'm with you though. The Andor character himself is not extremely compelling.
It's okay.
But the show, I like the show. Excuse me, I like the show.
Right. And the other thing, the backstory with the gentleman, though, the contractor who failed, the guy that was eating the cereal with his mom.
Yeah.
I guess there's going to be a payoff at some point with that story arc. You know what I mean? But it seems like, you know, he's trying to get a job with the Empire, you know, through his uncle, whatever. And his uncle's, I guess, maybe I wasn't paying attention to that scene, but it seemed like his uncle, like, told him, nah, you know?
Yeah, he got him a job. He's trying to, get him.
Something stupid. Like, it's a stupid job. Like, something he didn't want to do.
Yeah, it's a very mundane job.
Like, data processing or something like that.
Yeah. I'm with you, though. I'm trying to figure out who this guy's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Why are we following it? Is he just going to be... I don't know. I'm trying to figure out who he's supposed to be. So I guess we'll find out at some point. But the formation of the rebellion, I like.
Well, definitely, it's interesting. So if you are a Star Wars fan, what would you tell that person that told you that they're not watching Andor yet? Would you recommend it? Or you tell them, give it a little time?
I would recommend it, but I would say you can wait and binge it. wait till it's all done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like, again, we know this dude's gonna die.
Right.
So you can wait and go back and say, okay, let me catch up. But I would say that for Obi-Wan. And I loved Obi-Wan.
Right. I think Obi-Wan's better binging than waiting for the episodes like we did.
Yeah, probably.
And every time I say, okay, I'm not going to watch Andor, I'm like, oh, I'm bored. Like, oh, there's a new Andor episode. Let me watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely not like on a schedule. I'm definitely not like, oh, I got to watch Andor tonight. But I end up watching it and enjoying it. So.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think we hit everything that we wanted to hit. Unless I'm forgetting something, Tarek.
No, I think we got everything, man.
Yeah. Yeah. When is Attack on Titan, or is that over? Did that finish?
No, it is not over.
Oh my!
We have another. It doesn't not come out again until 2023.
Yeah, something like they had an earthquake and they stopped an episode from coming out, or like for a week, or it was like 3 or 4 weeks that they didn't come out with an episode because of the earthquake.
Maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is that I was upset.
They still did.
It was getting so good. It was so good.
Yeah.
So, and then it ended. And it's like shit. typical Japanimation faction. It just leaves you on cliffhangers for two or three years.
Right.
I'm trying to see here if I can find out when the release date is. Yeah, there's not having an announcement on when that release of that last one is. So it's going to be 23, hopefully.
We'll see. We will see, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully. All right, then. I think that's it. We hit all the points of the show today. Thank you so much for joining me, Mr. Tarek Lewis. Let everyone know how they can follow you and for everyone listening onto the on the audio version of the podcast, because they already know you got your tag right there in your window for everyone watching the video.
My name is Tarek on Instagram and on YouTube.
All right. And, of course, for me, at DJ Speedy JR, all the socials. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here at Geek Culture Congress. We are so happy to have you always on the live show. Feel free to comment there after the show if you're watching the replay of this. Let us know what you think about anything. Black Adam, House of the Dragon, the trailer for Quantumania, or anything else in the geekdom. In the, you know, me and Tarek are always monitoring the comments there, on the, especially on the YouTube channel. Give us a follow at Geek Culture Congress. Give us a like on our Facebook page. Three words, put them together for Instagram, Geek Culture Congress. Have a good one, everybody. Be safe. And we will see you back next week. Gosh, what are we going to talk about next week? We got nothing else. What do we got?
What's on Andor? I'm sure.
Andor, that's it. That's all we got left.
I'm sure.
Oh, wait. There's the other Star Wars show, the animated one, Tales of the Jedi. Tales of the Jedi. Look, Frank is hitting you up for some
He said fantasy ain't looking good.
Yeah. He's saying, what's going on there, man?
Facts there, Frankie.
Yeah.
Facts.
Is it the Giants playing tonight?
No. The Giants are 6-1, by the way.
Oh, yes. They're doing better than the Bucks, I'll tell you that.
They're doing better than the Bucks right now. I'm not going to jinx it. I'm knocking on wood. I'm not going to jinx it.
That's excellent, man. All right, man. Have a good night, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with me.
Peace.
Bye, everybody. Be safe. See you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.